Hey listeners, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. Today I'm chatting with Mark Lassoff as part of our special Tech Toolbox 2019 series this week to celebrate the second edition of the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox, which is a bundle that comes jam-packed with 33 different tech products and courses from 21 different expert creators. It covers a wide range of topics and skills, and you can learn more about it and everything that it comes with over at learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. Now, back to our guest today, Mark. Mark is the founder and president of Framework Television. He and his company have taught over 1 million people web and mobile development online, in the corporate classroom, and in secondary schools across the country. I'm so excited that Mark is taking part in the bundle with his Certified Web Developer program, where he starts with basic coding principles and then works through a variety of languages to help you earn that title as a web developer. Inside our conversation, we talk about his background and career in tech, why he started teaching, and how his program works. Mark also shares some of the best ways that you can start learning to code right now. Enjoy. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It's really great to have you, and I'm so excited to talk to you. And of course, you're part of the 2019 Tech Career Toolbox, which we'll definitely get into later in what you teach and all of that. But first, I wanted to talk about your background. So how did you get your start in technology?
I started very early. I am of the generation where the Commodore 64 was kind of the big computer when I was a kid, and I begged and begged my parents to buy me one when I was 11 or 12, and they relented and they did. And once they bought it, I realized I enjoyed kind of making my own games and applications and things like that more than I did playing the ones that you could purchase with it. So I taught myself Commodore basic programming before I was 13. And wrote a whole bunch of different games and programs using the basic programming language and probably pretty horrible coding technique at that point, and just maintained the interest as I got older. I have formal training in computer science from the University of Texas at Austin, and when I graduated from school, started my career in the industry.
So when you first started your career, were you working full-time in software engineering or software development or related?
I've had kind of a weird path. I did work in a couple of full-time programming jobs. I worked for one of the largest polling agencies in the country doing coding. Also worked for a large computer manufacturer writing code for the sales teams there. And a couple of other jobs like that, enterprise level types of positions. And then I got very interested in two things simultaneously. The first was the new, at the time, online education industry. Became extremely interested in ways we could teach online and also entrepreneurship. And those two things merged to really guide the rest of my career. So everything I've done since I've did formal coding has been somewhere in the education space or online education space, but you know, very, very tech oriented.
Gotcha. So then how long have you been teaching online for now?
I was one of the first. We started teaching online in 2000, 2001, somewhere around there. And you know, it was interesting back then because bandwidth was a lot more precious. So what we take for granted today of, you know, people universally being able to see online video and being able to talk, you know, real time through websites, etc., through the internet, the bandwidth back then just wasn't quite there yet. So it was a lot more challenging to do some of the things we take for granted today. But it was interesting because it really felt like we were you know, on the cusp of something huge. And, you know, of course, you and I both know how online education has really blown up. And I got to see the beginning of that and see this industry develop over the last two decades. And I think it's only going to grow. I think it's a really exciting space to be in. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where I get up every day and I know what I do is benefiting people. I know people are getting job and career skills out of what I do and what we do as an industry. And I find that really gratifying.
Wow. I did not realize you had been teaching online for that long. To be totally honest, I didn't even realize there were online teaching or resources in 2000 or 2001. And I think you are probably the guest. I've had lots of guests on the show that work in technology in various ways. And I've had, of course, a lot that are online instructors and teaching online. You may have the most experience teaching online, I think, out of anyone I've ever interviewed. So that's really exciting. I didn't even know that when I first invited you to come on. So this is a pleasant surprise to find out, you know, as we're chatting right now. What did that look like in 2000, 2001, like when you were putting together these courses or programs?
So it was interesting. Back in 2000, 2001, I was still, you know, early on in my career. And I got a job doing corporate technical training for what was at the time the largest chain of technical training centers in the world. They at the time had 150 training centers everywhere from, you know, Dubai to Trumbull, Connecticut. And I was an instructor for them. And then I was in a leadership position for one of their largest franchisees. And, you know, the national effort for the franchise company was to get the training online because they saw it immediately as a much more efficient way to deliver training. So I delivered some of the first online live classes for them and helped design some of the first self-paced asynchronous online classes that they did. At the same time, I was also working for, I think, a pioneering website that recorded videos to teach Visual Studio, the PC-based development environment, or I should say Windows-based development environment. And I was recording some videos for them as well. And it was really, really interesting. I mean, it looked very rudimentary compared to what we have today. I was wearing, you know, the type of headset that you wear to talk to someone on Skype and plugging that into my USB port and basically recording on my laptop. And you know, there was no HD video at the time. We were very worried about compression and, you know, trying to get the appropriate level of quality where people could still stream the videos consistently no matter where they were. So I think the biggest thing that's catalyzed the growth of online education has been the availability of bandwidth and the fact that, you know, anyone now can connect to YouTube or any site and stream video without a problem.
Yeah, that's something I never even, you know, had put too much thought into, but it makes a ton of sense. And especially talking to guests that had, because a lot of folks I talked to taught themselves in these, you know, the late 90s or the early 2000s. And it's the conversation just of how the learning resources available to people learning how to code have just, I mean, just insane evolution, right? Like so many folks, yeah, that they were very limited in what the resources were. Now there's, I couldn't guess, you may know better than me, but thousands and thousands of YouTube videos on learning how to code alone, not to mention other platforms. So I would love to hear a bit about what you have seen just over the years teaching people these technical skills, like especially in as far as like, what are the best ways to learn with people you've worked with?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of choices out there. And I think that's one of the things that's really beneficial about learning at this point is that, you know, there are so many options for people who want to learn. And I think, you know, partially it's determined by how much time do you have, how much budget do you have, and how aggressively do you want to pick up the skills. You know, I commonly say, you can learn anything on YouTube, but, you know, you might be learning from a 13-year-old Ukrainian with a cold. So, you know, that's an option is free YouTube videos, and people make those sometimes just because they love to teach. The problem with that and what makes that difficult is that there's no specific curriculum laid out for you, and you kind of have to, you know, push your way through hundreds of, you know, 10-15 minute videos to learn what you're going to learn, and then you still may miss things that are important. So, you know, with online curriculum like I teach, it's carefully designed based on the needs of industry. Before we designed our latest curriculum, we went out and we talked to 100 people who were hiring first-time web developers. And we said, aside from the irrelevant list of skills in the job ad, what are you really looking for? What are the things that make new developers successful in the web space? And then we designed curriculum around that. So, I mean, between, you know, free YouTube videos and our formal bootcamp style curriculum like we do, you know, there's a million other options for people to learn. You know, what I learned in college, I mean, none of that is really relevant anymore. So I continue to learn in all sorts of ways. I take formal courses. I learn new techniques on YouTube, and sometimes I go to Barnes & Noble and sit down with a book. And I think that's what's so exciting, is there's so many ways to learn, and it doesn't have to be expensive. And I think, you know, one of my core beliefs too, and I think this was something that's changed over the years, is there's nothing special about development in that the average person can learn this. We used to consider development monolithically, like, you know, creating algorithms for artificial intelligence is the same thing as creating a website. And frankly, it's not. And just about anybody can learn HTML and some JavaScript and put up a website or some type of basic mobile app. You don't have to be particularly smart or good at math. You don't have to have a college education or a master's degree. You know, you just have to be willing to learn and put in the work. And I think that's the other thing that's exciting, is the accessibility of these skills now to just about anyone with an internet connection.
Yeah, I love that, and agree with so much that you said, like that how work ethic is just so important when it comes to learning anything new, or maybe not anything, but the, you know, HTML, CSS, JavaScript and things like that, and just getting a website up. That's exactly how I felt. When people ask me about how, when I first started teaching myself how to code, I hated math. I did not do well with computers at all throughout high school or college. I was not like you. I was not tinkering on the computer when I was, you know, 13 years old. And I was, you know, still able to teach myself in a relatively short amount of time. So yeah, totally agree with what you're saying. So I was doing research on you and looking at all these different topics and skills and languages and frameworks that you teach. I would just be curious if there was a certain one that is like your favorite to use or to teach, or maybe both, and why?
So I am pretty vanilla when it comes to the technologies that I recommend that new people learn, because I think it's really important to choose things that are very, very widely used. So I teach a fairly standard curriculum that starts with HTML, and that's the underpinning architecture of every website and many mobile apps that you see out there. It's kind of the structure or the skeleton. I teach CSS, which is the design layer, which is how you make things look the way you want, make them look good and usable. And then JavaScript for interaction. JavaScript increasingly is the most important language out there because of its flexibility. You can use it in the web browser, which was the original intent. But now with Node.js, kind of a different implementation of JavaScript, you can use it on the server side. You can run it in the server and even on the desktop. And then for server-side languages, we also teach PHP, and while it's not the sexy choice, it is the most commonly used back-end language out there. And when we teach, I think, you know, it doesn't matter as much what language you learn initially. It's that you have a good foundation, because that's what prepares you to learn other languages, because languages have a lot of similarities. It's kind of like, you know, if you know how to use Microsoft Word, you should be able to go ahead and use, for example, the Google word processor without much of a transitional problem, because you understand how word processors work. My goal really using HTML, CSS, and JavaScript is for people to understand how digital development works. And then they can take that basic knowledge and either use that to execute projects or use that as a foundation to learn more advanced skills and languages.
Got it. So when someone is starting out and learning these things, and I know you mentioned earlier, it really can vary depending on the, like how aggressive they are and how much time they spend and a few other factors. But for most people who do have a strong work ethic, let's say, and are dedicating a few hours every week or even day, How long is it taking them to pick up on these things, like the HTML, CSS, JavaScript?
It's very individual. Everybody learns differently. So, you know, some people may be very aggressive and they can be functionally creating, you know, websites in a few weeks. Others, because of time commitments, because of just, you know, taking longer to absorb the skill sets, it may take them a month or two. But if you put in the effort, just about anybody can become functional with these skills. And I really think, you know, what we're talking about here is modern day digital literacy, right? You know, whereas when I was back in high school, many years ago, you know, we were all required to learn physics and chemistry and biology. But I think the modern literacy is really these skills, is HTML, JavaScript, CSS. And if you look at, you know, today's high school students, they're spending all day, every day immersed in digital media, but so few of them know how it's made. And I think it's important for everyone to learn these skills for that reason.
Got it. So we have been talking a lot about what your program teaches that is offered in the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox, the Certified Web Development Professional. Mm-hmm. And we touched upon all these things. So one thing that we didn't talk about that I know gets into is SQL. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, SQL is, first of all, structured query language, and it's used with any type of SQL compliant database that's out there. So common databases include MySQL or MySQL, and then SQLite. So most databases that use SQL have the letters SQL in it. And these databases use a very similar SQL language to access database content. So for example, if I had a database of, for example, students at a university, I could write a SQL statement that shows me all of the first names, last names, and social security numbers of those students if I had the appropriate access. So SQL databases still, even though, again, kind of old school computer science, are still an important skill because when it comes down to it, most databases that people use the SQL language. So once you understand the SQL language, you can start communicating with just about any database out there. And it's a skill many employers look for in new developers. And a lot of new developers start by working with databases as database admins or database developers in order to work with the actual data that's used by the employer.
Got it. And I was looking at this course, the Certified Web Development Professional, and there's a lot of, you know, content there, lots of different modules. After a person goes to the program, what do you suggest they do next? Like, what should their next step be?
Typically, when we're working closely with students, once they achieve the Certified Web Development Professional certification, which means you become functional at HTML, CSS, etc., the technologies we were discussing before, I think it's really important to build a portfolio of project work. The portfolio is really, I think, one of the most important elements in getting your foot in the door in the industry, because it shows what you're able to do and it shows that you can get projects done. So we actually have some suggestions for our members to build their portfolio and different types of projects they can build. But the idea is that, you know, you can show a portfolio to a potential employer and they can see you're able to get something done. This is especially effective with non-technical employers. You know, there's two types of jobs at a high level out there, right? There's employers who are non-technical but are hiring technical people for some function. So I have a friend, for example, who runs the website for a pet supply company. Well, their main focus is pet supplies, not the technology. But then there's technology companies. But if you're working as a technology person at a non-technology company, we've found that the portfolio is extremely effective at getting hired because they don't have the technology background to, you know, test you on your SQL knowledge or see if your HTML is correct. But if they can see visually in an online portfolio that you can get things done, you're very likely to get the job. And the other thing is that bridges the gap between traditionally trained programmers with a computer science degree and people who are taught through programs like we're talking about today, who you went through an alternative education experience. They may be just as skilled, but they don't have that degree. The portfolio can help bridge that gap. So I'm a big fan of portfolios.
Oh, I love that. And I know we could probably have a whole like episode about portfolios, but if there's someone thinking of making a portfolio and they're trying to target these non-tech employers, so someone who may not really understand exactly what they're doing, what do they like how do you balance not making your portfolio too technical so you confuse these non-technical people but still show what you're capable of?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those things. If you're dealing with non-technical employers, oftentimes it's the old adage, you know, the book cover. And now I'm forgetting it.
You can read don't judge a book by its cover?
Right. They will. That's what I'm trying to think of. They will very much judge the book by its cover. So if you're dealing with a non-technical employer, they're going to look at the portfolio and they're going to look at it from a user's perspective. So they want it to be attractive, look good, be functional, and they're not really going to probably ask too many questions about the underlying code as long as things work. So I think it's important to include some web applications and mobile applications, if that's what you're interested in, that are appealing and have simple working functionality. So, you know, one of the things is, you know, for example, to take a transit API and build an arrivals board or a departure board, paying careful attention to the user experience and making sure it's good, because that's what a non-technical employer is likely to be paying attention to. Versus a technical employer is more likely to look at the code and care about the code and its structure and its correctness. You know, a non-technical employer may look at the things that are more obvious to an actual user.
I feel like I have to ask this, and I think it may be obvious to some people, but especially for those just listening, or I'm sorry, just starting out and really new, I knew I would be thinking this. How do I even know if the employer is technical or not, or the person that is hiring me?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a fair question. I would ask, you know, what the person's job title is who's interviewing, and you might ask if they're part of the technical team. You know, some clues that the person is not technical is they work in the HR department, or you know, they have a broad title, like, you know, vice president of something, and you'll often find that they're non-technical. But also you can tell by the size of the companies. You know, in small companies that don't have a large technical team or any tech team, is often where people get their start. And there, you know, you may be the technical person. It's real common for me to hear that people who get their first jobs wind up kind of providing a little bit of desktop support along with, you know, managing the company website. So you've got to judge by the size of the company, but I think it's a fair question to ask, you know, the person who's interviewing you what they do. And you can also just ask, is this a technical interview? And, you know, almost all the time, someone who's non-technical will tell you, no, it's not a technical interview. And, you know, then you can approach it from more of a user's perspective.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I'm laughing at the, is this a technical interview? And if the person's not technical, of course, they're going to say no. I could feel like if they can almost be nervous if they think oh man, am I going to have to run a technical interview? Because even the idea of running one could be overwhelming if you're not technical, and they wouldn't know what they were looking for, you know, anyway.
I think it's real important too, to be very honest about, you know, the level of skills that you have, because it's very easy to, if in a non-technical interview, you know, overpromise and underdeliver, because if someone is non-technical, they may look at you as a guru, even if you're just starting out. So I think it's important to be honest as far as, you know, what your limitations are at that point. But also state that, you know, you're continuing to grow and learn, and you'll continue to grow in the position once you have it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we talked about a lot of different things today. And I think we got into everything that the program Certified Web Development Professional teaches, but is there anything that we didn't touch on that you think is really important for all the listeners to hear?
Well, I just wanted to talk about the certifications a little bit. You know, the certifications are designed to show that you know what you know. So when you earn the certification, a couple of things happen. One, you get a validation page through credential.net, which shows your certification. It shows the knowledge that it represents. And it also allows you to directly link the certification with your LinkedIn. So it's listed under the certification section of your LinkedIn. And often employers will search by those types of certifications for skill sets that they're looking for. The second thing with the certification is it becomes part of your portfolio because you have a unique certification page that displays the certificates that you earn and explains what they're about. So those are good to include in your digital portfolio, again, to help people understand that you know what you know, especially if, again, you've been through an alternative education experience versus something more formal in a college setting. These will help you compete in the market against people who have a degree.
Got it. So obviously people can catch this product in the 2019 Tech Career Toolbox, but do you have any other resources that folks might find useful, especially for those that are listening to this episode, you know, maybe months from now?
Yeah. So you can, first of all, visit our website at frameworktv.com. And there we've got a number of different programs from beginners to intermediate level developers who are learning. And those programs range from, you know, short half hour free project-based content where we might do something like build a tip calculator or a weather conditions application to 24-week formal courses on digital design. And that's at frameworktv.com. Anyone can come and join for free and take advantage of the free content that we offer and decide whether or not, you know, a more advanced level of learning with us is for them.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark, for coming on.
I appreciate you having me. This has been fun.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mark. Again, you can check out his product, the Certified Web Developer Program, inside our 2019 version of the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox. This toolbox is a collection of 33 different tech products and courses. Seriously, it has so much to offer. Here's what one bundle buyer, Roberto, who lives in Atlanta, Georgia, had to say about it. I was skeptical at first. Thousands of dollars in coding courses for hundreds of dollars sounded too good to be true. But the Ultimate Tech Career Toolbox turned out to be the best way to save a whole bunch of time and spend a fraction of the price you would trying to get all these courses separately. As I advance my learning and decide to pursue new subjects, I'm very fortunate that I can still access all of these courses that I bought months ago. In fact, I was even able to drop out of my second bachelor's degree to spend time working on these courses. You won't regret getting this bundle. As Roberto said, you're not going to regret investing in this. You can find out more about the bundle at learntocodewith.me/toolbox2019. That URL is all one word. And remember, the cart closes on Saturday, May 4th at midnight Eastern time. And it won't be available ever again. All right, that's it for me. Have a great rest of the day, and I'll be back tomorrow with the final episode in our special Tech Toolbox 2019 series.